to the Inner Hippie Club radio show on BBS Radio Station 1 with your host Silky Harvey every Monday at 1 p.m. CT. Well, hello everybody again and welcome to the Inner Hippie Club radio show. In the studio today, we are going to have Bridget Holder talks about finding your true passion for adversity in Fireside Stories. We're also going to have Janneke Klingborg live with us in the studio today as she takes the talking stick and gives us a glimpse of her business. And we're also going to have Sean Harvey, who's going to delight our listeners on the music spotlight with his song Thinking It Over. So there's lots of stuff coming up. Very interesting people, I must admit. And especially in Fireside Stories, Bridget's story is just so amazing. So Fireside Stories, by the way, is the spot on the show where a person each week takes the virtual fireside and tells a story straight from the heart that's inspiring, and it couldn't get any better as this week. And I'm really looking forward to our guest, Janneke Klingborg, as well, because she is such an interesting person. She will have lots to talk about. And I would like to thank everybody who tuned in last week for the launch of the show. There's been so much lovely feedback and support, and I really would like to thank everybody sincerely and from the heart for being so generous, for making such nice comments. I was really, really touched. It meant a lot to me. I really did. So I've also got lots of exciting guests lined up for the future shows, and it's going to be amazing. I'm really, really looking forward to these next few weeks. It's something exciting. It's something, I don't know. It's been over 30 years since I've been on radio, and it's so good to be back. It's so good to be back. Even though things are so different nowadays, technology has moved on. I still remember when I first started DJing in my early years. It was actually in an analog studio. I still had to physically drive to the studio, had my turntable with my vinyls to my right and my record player to my left, and the big cartridge machine for the jingles in front of me, a big mixing desk. And it was all about queuing up the music and rewinding the tapes by half a turn with your fingers still, just to get them queued up right so they would come in on time with no dead air. It was such a different world back then. And when guests wanted to be in the studio and talk to you, they literally had to come to the studio. It was lovely in a way. I used to like the studio, but also I love this modern technology because it means I can be connecting with people from all over the world. And that to me is the essence of radio, of talking, of getting out there and of connecting with people who you never would have met. In a way, radio was the forerunner of the internet. That was our way in the old days of reaching out to the world. I used to have this little world transmitter, you know, an old world band radio, and there was nothing more exciting than waiting till 12 o'clock at night when the airwaves were clear and going to my window and holding in it just the right direction, and suddenly you would get glimpses of faraway places like Radio Moscow or some radio station in the United States. And there was me sitting there in my little bedroom in Germany somewhere and thinking, my God, there's such a big world out there. And radio really, really unlocked this for me. And the internet was a continuation of this. And now this modern way of radio, it is just fascinating. It really, really is fascinating. So today in the studio, Bridget Holder will talk on At the Fireside in Fireside Stories. And we are going to listen to her just after this next commercial. Do you feel anxious and worried with low self-esteem? Beatrice Jimenez is a certified anxiety and trauma coach for professional women and survivors of trauma who want to feel confident and happy with their family, work and social life without the worry and anxiety holding them back. Her Confident Woman Transformation Program will teach you how to experience joy, a sense of calm and high self-esteem. For a limited time, she is offering a free confidence jumpstart session. Claim your spot within 14 days by visiting her website, mindrenewalnow.com. Again, the website is called mindrenewalnow.com. Welcome everybody today to Fireside Stories. Our guest for tonight is Bridget Holder, and she will be talking to us about finding your true passion through adversity. Welcome in the studio, Bridget.
Thank you so much for having me, Silke. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's my pleasure entirely. So you want to talk to us today about finding your true passion through adversity. That sounds an intriguing story, so grab yourself a coffee, take it away, sit by the fire, and let's hear it.
I guess it began in 2016 when my mum had a heart attack and she ended up having triple bypass surgery. And I was able to, because I work for myself and have done for a number of years, I was able to organize the kids with their auntie and their grandfather, and my husband works away a lot. And then I was able to be with my mum down in Sydney as she had the surgery and during her recovery period. I stayed in a house with a couple of nuns, and they were the most beautiful ladies. Very caring, very compassionate, and they would sit and talk to me at night time when I would get back from the hospital, and it would be quite late when I'd get back. My father and my stepdad was there as well, and he was staying in a different facility because the nuns would only have women stay in their facility, so he was staying at a different location. And yeah, they would talk to me at nighttime, and I had work to do because work for myself, and this was mostly just book work and stuff that I didn't want to get behind on. And I would try to go to my room to do the book work when I got back, and it'd be like 9:30, 10 o'clock when I would leave the hospital, and so it was quite late, and I knew I wanted to get back there first thing in the morning to be there so that when the doctors came and stuff. And one night I was talking to the nun and she said, "So what lights you up?" And I burst into tears. And I knew that what I was doing didn't light me up. I didn't particularly fall into the role of motherhood, and that was quite a battle I had with myself to be able to deal with that. And I started talking to this nun about the fact that I didn't like being a mother, that it felt like it took my identity away, and it felt like I had to be something that I wasn't. And she said to me that, I remember it so clearly, she actually said to me that I didn't have to be anything other than what I wanted to be. And at the time I just thought, she's no idea, she's not a mother. How could she know how I felt? You know, she's never had children. She's likely, for all I know, never had a relationship with a man and brought human beings into the world. So I made all those assumptions that she didn't know what she was talking about, because I was a mother to two children, and one of those at the time was 10 and the other was 7. So it was a really, the next day I went up to see mum and tried to push this feeling aside and kept on going back to the house at night time, and I got really good at avoiding the nuns so that I didn't have to talk about my feelings. And I was able to spend, I think it was almost 10 days I spent up there as mum recovered, and then she was brought back to a hospital closer to home, and I came home and I would travel to the hospital or travel to her house when she got back to her house to help her with her recovery. And it was after I got home that I had what I call a mini breakdown. And the reason I call it a mini breakdown is because it wasn't like I completely fell to pieces. I was still functioning, but I was really sad. And I was really sad because this nun had brought out of me that I was not enjoying my life as it was. And I hadn't realized that I was pushing all this under the rug, pushing it under the rug, until I saw my mother's mortality. And my mum's okay. She's still here with us and everything went well there. But I became quite looking inward. And I think that, you know, I had started a few years before that in looking into spirituality and discovering things that I always knew existed but got stronger with, including my intuition. And I found a lot of solace in meditation at that time. And I mostly did guided meditations because I couldn't quiet my mind about thinking about not liking motherhood and being ashamed of that. And I did spend some time with a psychologist, and she was brilliant. She gave me a book, and I cannot remember the name of the book, but I know that that book changed everything for me because it allowed me the opportunity to say, you know what, I can be a mum and still have what I want. And I mean, I love my children. It was not a question of did I like my children or did I enjoy being around them. There was no question about that. It was more about the fact that I had to be present for them all the time. These little people couldn't do things without me, even to the fact that we live out of town. So if there was things that they needed to go to, they couldn't even, you know, catch a ride with somebody else. It's, we live out of town, so I have to take them. And, you know, when they're young, they do rely on you a lot more and they do need their mum. And it was something that I thought I had to be present for so much because that's what society expected of me, and I lost my way. I was able to, with that book, whatever that book was, I remember reading it and then going, okay, I can change what's happening in my life here. I've got a choice. And then I realized everything did come down to choice. I realized how successful I was as a businesswoman. I realized I had talents beyond being a mother. I realized that wasn't my strong suit, and it's still not my strong suit, and that's okay. All of these realizations came to me from working with that psychologist, and it was, I think, some shame associated with the fact that I had hidden this for 10 years. I probably had postnatal depression from my first, and, you know, I hid that as well. Like, I was very good at pretending that everything was okay, and very good at pretending that I could do it all by myself because my husband worked away a lot. And it was something that I didn't realize was stopping me from actually finding my true passion. Now, when I say that, I mean, it's, I was the one making the choice to focus on pretending to be this mother that society expected me to be. I was the one pretending that I had all my shit together. I was the one that was choosing to show up to all the events with a smile on my face and say, aren't they beautiful little human beings? When I'm thinking, they are so boring, like this is boring. And I didn't think that was okay to talk about, and until I spoke to the psychologist and read this book. And then when I started talking about it, I was absolutely amazed at the number of people who had the same feelings. I did a course where I dove deeper into my intuition, and during that course I had to actually do an assignment, and the assignment had choices, and I chose to do a 5-day live series telling my story about not liking motherhood and how that felt for me. And during that process, the feedback that I got from other people, the fact that I wasn't alone, the fact that I wasn't the only mum who felt this way, and wasn't able to, you know, continue doing it alone was fantastic. It was just like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I'm so glad. And so many people thanked me for sharing my story. It was like I was turning a leaf over that I never knew could be turned over. And it was, you know, this catalyst for me moving forward. And so had I not had the mini breakdown, I wouldn't have gone to see a psychologist. Had I not seen the psychologist, I wouldn't have discovered that I had choice. And had I not discovered choice, I wouldn't have then gone on to share my story. I chose to do this intuition course, and we were on retreat, and there was a woman who was on the retreat with me who is now a friend of mine. I felt like an imposter being there. You know, I felt like all these women were woo-woo to the hilt, and they knew what they were doing, and they were all connected to themselves. And here was I, this imposter who had lied about motherhood for 10 years and, you know, done things differently to how I judged and compared myself to how they did it, when I didn't even know how they had done it or who they were, or, you know, I knew them through social media and not much more. But this woman, we had to do an exercise where we had to sit in front of each other and look into each other's eyes. Oh, she really saw me. She saw into my soul like no other person has ever seen me. And that hit me with, I'd say, a ton of bricks. And it was something that I never expected, that another person could see into me that well. And from there, I started to open up a lot more. So I'd had walls built up around me, you know, and that would go back to my childhood, where I would freeze because of the domestic violence going on in my house. So, you know, naturally when I got older and things got hard, I would freeze and I would put walls up and just keep pretending, because that's what you do. So, yeah, it was definitely that moment in time was a time where when she saw into me, and it was very emotional for me for somebody to actually see me as much as she did. And it was a connection on a higher level that I had never experienced before. And to this day, I'm grateful and will be forever grateful for these moments in time that have happened to me, including the breakdown and including my mum having a heart attack. You know, poor mum had to go through that, but it was, you know, a turning point for me. So then after that, I was able to express myself a lot more, and I didn't see myself as a writer. I never saw myself as somebody who was able to, I didn't do great thesis or anything like that at universities, or, you know, I didn't have to write great papers or anything. And, you know, I did essays and things for English, but there was no great history of writing in my family or for me. You know, it wasn't something that I grew up saying, oh, I would love to be a published writer or anything like that. But in 2019, I was in my first multi-author book, where I shared my story about motherhood. And again, the feedback I received and the thanks and the gratitude, I received over 130 messages from women I did not know when that book came out. And, well, I mean, I knew them as in they were friends on Facebook, but or friends of the other authors in the book, but they weren't connected to me personally. And it really changed. Like, I was like, this is amazing, this feeling, because I'd had it twice before, and this is the third time, and this time it was like the universe was slapping me in the face, you've got to do something with this. And I still wasn't sure what it was. And then in 2020, I did another multi-author book, and during that multi-author book, I asked the publisher that many questions that she then went on to actually run a course on how to become a publisher. And I joined that course and became a publisher, and it lights me up every day to be able to sharing women's stories to allow other women to change their lives, because that's how I feel my story and other women's stories does. It allows people to change their lives. It grants them permission to change their trajectory, to change what they're doing, to see that there is choice, to allow them the opportunity to live their passion and, you know, seek out things beyond what is in front of them at the moment and that box around them. So I found the publishing, and now I get the joy of sharing both a chapter and a whole book of stories that relate to a person's life, or, you know, things that they've experienced or that they've seen along the way, and the lessons that they've learned in that, so that then others can learn from that and change their lives. And I think that our stories shape us so much, and we forget and we underestimate the power of our story. And me just sharing this here, Silke, could actually change somebody's life. You know, they could see that they have the possibility to do something different. I think I was drowning in the business that we have, traditional business, because I thought that was it. This is what my job lot is. I have to look after these children and I have to do this business for the rest of my life. I have to do book work and environmental plans and tenders and everything that's boring to me for the rest of my life. And I was drowning in it. And until my mum had the heart attack and I saw her mortality in front of my eyes, and then I had a mini breakdown myself, I didn't realise that I had a choice, and I didn't realise that there was a different way to do things. So I'm so grateful that all of these things happened along the way that actually allowed me the opportunity to change my life and change my trajectory. Yeah.
Thank you, Bridget. That was a wonderful story and so inspiring. Like, tell me a little bit more about your publishing business. I'm curious to find out more.
Yeah, so the Art of Grace Publishing House allows women the opportunity to share their stories, to grant permission to others to change their lives. And we do multi-author and solo books through there. I do it in both the multi-author and the solo books in group programs, because I really like the community, and a lot of women have sister wounds, and this is an opportunity for those sister wounds to actually dissipate, because they did for me when I joined a multi-author book. And you know, it's just an opportunity to grow in a different way. Writing is so cathartic, and you can't put a value on how much the author gets out of actually sharing their story and become published. It's something that, until you experience it, you can't explain the feeling, because it is almost euphoric. I mean, obviously I'm addicted to it, because at the moment I'm on my seventh multi-author book contributing to, not just my own publishing house's books, other publishing houses' books. And I love it, and I love what it does for me. I love what it does for the writer, and I love what it does for the reader. So I will continue to do this for many years to come. And I'm so grateful that I found publishing, because it doesn't feel like work. That saying that they have, find something you love and you'll never work a day in your life, I never got that. Like, I never could understand it. I was like, what the hell do they mean? I don't have anything that I love, until I found this. And, you know, this lights me up, and I get excited to talk to people about their stories and get excited to see the books come to fruition. And, yeah, it's a beautiful way to live, and I'm excited that there's more women out there sharing stories through other publishing houses too, because it gives the opportunity to so many more to change their lives. And yeah, I'm very passionate about it.
Beautiful. And where can listeners find you if they want to get in touch with you?
Yeah, through my website. It's just bridgetholder.com, and I have that funny spelling of Bridget, the Irish spelling of Bridget, because I was named after a nun. My mum had high hopes. It's bridgetholder.com.
Thank you, Bridget, for being here today. It was a pleasure listening to your story, and I'll be looking forward to talking to you again in the future, hopefully.
Thank you so much, Silke. I appreciate it.
You are listening to the Inner Hippie Club radio show on BBS Radio Station 1 with your host, Silke Harvey.
Do you feel anxious and worried with low self-esteem? Beatrice Jimenez is a certified anxiety and trauma coach for professional women and survivors of trauma who want to feel confident and happy with their family, work and social life without the worry and anxiety holding them back. Her Confident Woman Transformation Program will teach you how to experience joy, a sense of calm and high self-esteem. For a limited time, she is offering a free confidence jumpstart session. Claim your spot within 14 days by visiting her website, mindrenewalnow.com. Again, the website is called mindrenewalnow.com. Now I would like to welcome to the studio Janneke Klingbroek, who will be taking the talking stick today. Welcome today, Janneke.
Yes, hi. How are you?
I am good. I'm good. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Tell the listeners a bit about yourself and your business.
Okay, I'll try to make a long story a little bit shorter, but pretty much my background, I grew up in Sweden, so I'm half Swedish, half Thai. My mom is from Thailand, and grew up in Sweden. And then when I was fairly young, a teenager, moved to London. And then in London, I started working in hospitality and the yoga in modeling industry for many years. And from there, I transitioned into the yoga industry. So with the yoga, I started my journey in India, where I started my first yoga teacher training, and then I started training all around the world. And the yoga practice, excuse me, sorry, say again.
No, go ahead.
So the yoga practice took me to Southeast Asia, to Thailand after a while. And so I ended up moving to Thailand, to Bangkok, where I started working, teaching yoga. And then I moved to one of the islands called Koh Phangan. So I lived out in the jungle for a couple of months, where I continue working as a residential yoga teacher at a wellness center called The Sanctuary. And where I also started my journey as a healer and my practice as a Chinesang practitioner. So I was offering Chinesang and yoga full time in Thailand for many years. And then I've worked at several wellness detox centers at other places around the world as well. And from there, I ended up moving to LA. And here in LA now, I'm working full time as a teacher, teaching public classes, online classes, private classes, and I'm a healer offering Chinesang and Reiki. So this is what I do here, and I'm also working for this company called True Naked Yoga as yoga consultant and head instructor.
That is fascinating. Tell me a little bit more about all your healing modalities, because I know Reiki is quite commonplace these days, but the listeners may not know what all these other modalities are. Explain a little bit more.
So we all know what yoga is, and then we have the Reiki, which is vital life force energy, and the Chinesang I started. It's pretty big in Asia. It's a guy called Mantak Shia who invented this system, and it's basically a Taoist abdominal massage, but it translates working the energy of the organs, so releasing any stagnations that's stuck in our organs. When we have stagnant energy in our body that's not moving, we start to have all kinds of physical illnesses and issues like digestive issues. We start to feel depressed and anxious, and it all kind of gets stuck in our organs. So what I do, we call it, it's a type of applied Qigong. So Qigong is like a type of Tai Chi, and as soon as you call it Qigong, it becomes medical. So when me as a practitioner working on a client, I'm giving them a physical abdominal release, but I'm also working on channeling energy into to their organs. So I'm helping them to move all of that stagnant energy that's stuck in their organs, so that new fresh energy can flow into their body and they can start to heal.
So, yeah, that sounds fascinating. I'm a Reiki master myself, so I'm intrigued. I must look it up, definitely.
Yes, for sure.
Absolutely, because the working with the life force is so essential. I work with all the chakras when I practice Reiki, and I'm a chakra dancing practitioner. So I know exactly what you mean when you say about that the stagnant energy can cause illness and disease in the body.
Yes.
So, yeah, any form of treatment that can actually release that energy is good. I've never heard of this one before, but I'm definitely going to look that one up.
Yeah, it's also very, very powerful because we are, I feel like if we not are digesting our emotional side, it's our emotions properly, it's really hard to digest the rest of the food and stuff that goes into the abdominal area. So a lot of people who are stressed and anxious tend to have a lot of digestive issues. And it's normally comes from the root of emotional digestion. So we're not digesting. So it's all related to the energy flow in your body.
Absolutely. So what actually is the story behind your business? And why do you do what you do? Why does it light you up?
Oh, so many. I mean, I guess a lot of healers and yoga teachers, we come from a background of some type of event that happened in our life that leading us to a path where we wanted to try to come out of the darkness somehow. So for me, I had a pretty rough childhood growing up, and I was working in the hospitality and the modeling industry for a long time, and I was in a very dark place, very, very depressed, very not in a good place. And at my first yoga class that I took, it's really hard to explain, but I've never felt as much as I felt in that class. And I just felt straight away, this is what I need to do. This is what I want to do full time. So I started practicing twice a day, almost twice a day, every day, and started my trainings. And I just realizing I don't need alcohol or drugs to feel high. This is all I need. It's like working my body, breathing and moving, getting the energy in my body. Because it's been so stagnant and suppressed by alcohol and drugs my whole life. So now I'm discovering this whole new way of feeling way better by just moving my body. And so that is something, that feeling is something that I want everyone to be able to feel. Because I know how it feels to be in a state of stressed, depressed, anxious. I come from a family with the background of depression. So I found my purpose, and I really want to educate people and help them, you know, and help them discover that on their own. So, yeah, that's the main reason why I do it, because I know how amazing it is, and I want everyone to feel it. And it's something that everyone can feel. We all have the tools within to bring it out.
Absolutely.
We need an extra push. We need someone to explain how.
So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more. I see nearly all of that every day when I'm practicing myself. So, yeah, absolutely. You don't need drugs. You don't need alcohol. You just need, I used to say in the old days, you just need rock and roll, because that's my thing, music. You know, music and movement, and that's
breathing,
all you need.
Dancing, singing. And it's, for me, it's like movement is medicine.
Like, absolutely.
It's a type of, for me, I always say one of the things that we all should be doing is meditate. And it doesn't mean you have to sit down in silence and not move. It can be, you find your type of meditation. It could be walking, dancing, breathing, breath work. There's so many different tools. But as soon as I mentioned the word meditation, people's like, I don't know if I can sit and not think for 5-10 minutes. It's too much. Yep. And they get super overwhelmed. And I'm like, I don't hardly do that. I might do five minutes, but I have so many other tools that is my meditation, you know.
Exactly. I always love to go back to chakra dancing, which is a moving meditation. And I always tell my clients exactly that. You don't have to sit cross-legged in a room full of incense. That's not necessary. Meditation is not about that.
Yeah, I agree. Exactly.
So what do you do then to relax? I mean, obviously, in your business, you are working with all these modalities to relax other people, what do you do to relax in your spare time? And what are your passions and hobbies?
Yeah, so I am except doing tons of yoga, which is my daily practice. I do rock climbing and I do a lot of hiking in nature. So that's my two main things. And I try to take one day off a week where I do nothing. And it's really hard. It's really hard, but it's very necessary. Just the time where I just spend time with my dog. I sit in the park. I go and grab a coffee. I go to the spa. But for me, being a workaholic a little bit, it's also very hard. It's a good practice to just take one day off and just do nothing. So that's my type of relaxation for sure. But I mean, I'm a person who loves to move. So being in nature, rock climbing, being rocks and moving is relaxing for me as a person.
Rock climbing has always fascinated me. It's just I've got this terrible fear of heights, which has always stopped me from doing that, but it looks so amazing when I see other guys doing it. It really is good.
It is terrifying, but it's a whole different once you're up there. The only thing you can think about is surviving. So it becomes like you have to be aware of how you're moving, how you're breathing, technique. You don't think about anything else except on what you're doing that moment. And it's the same thing with the yoga practice, I find. It brings you into the present moment because it becomes a little bit of a survival when you're, especially when you're beginning, you're like, what am I doing? Why am I feeling this way? Why am I so tight here? And it's just...
Yep, perfect mindfulness, really.
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Yes. So what's your biggest dream in life then? And have you got any items on your bucket list that are complete non-negotiables? You have to do them before you leave this planet one day.
You know, I'm a traveler. So for me, it's just seeing as many countries and experience as many cultures as possible. I've traveled a lot. And I think this is the first time I'm in one country for this long as I have been here in the US. I think for 5 years, but I'm feeling the urge to continuing traveling. So I want to do as many countries, travel to as many countries as possible before I die. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
Cool. So if you had to pick, say, your top three, what would be your top three countries?
I haven't been to Costa Rica. Would love to go to Peru and Japan.
Ooh, lovely, lovely.
Yeah.
Peru's on my list as well. I mean, I need to see Machu Picchu.
I know. And I know so many people have been there. So, and it's not that far. So once this whole craziness with the COVID is over, I think I'll end up traveling more. But now it almost feels like I just don't want to go through all of the hustle to travel.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, it's quite close for you where you are. But I mean, Peru's the other side of the world for me. So it's still probably a way off, especially with how things are at the moment. But it's definitely on the bucket list.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, so... if you had one wish to change the world for the better, what would that be?
I think it would be teaching the younger generation, implementing that in school, in the teaching, teaching the mindfulness and meditation. I think that would be a big step up, changing.
That is so important. That is so important to alert the younger generation that there is a new way, in a better way. Well, actually, not a new way. It's an ancient way that is being rediscovered, isn't it?
Yes. And we should be teaching them from a very young age. It should be a part of their daily practice in school. And absolutely. I think that will benefit so many kids. So many. And I think they are our future. So I think we need to start with them.
Absolutely. I do really believe in that because I'm a follower of the Children's Fire, which is an old Native American idea that, you know, whatever you do, you should do it in such a way that it does not harm the children of this earth for many generations to come. And I think that is an important way of living. And if we want to get out of this mess that the planet is in at the moment, the children are the way forward. The children are the future. And we have to light the way for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally. So then tell me a bit more about where listeners can find you and what is the best way of connecting with you. Do you have any social media where people can get in touch and website?
Yes. So I wanted to bring up as well, I'm working for this company called True Naked Yoga, and it's really about improving positive body image. And we have created a lot of on-demand videos, and it encourages people to practice at home naked with these videos. And it's a way to, you know, bring greater self-acceptance and appreciation, and it can help discover new ways at looking at your body. And also to inspire you to take pride and pleasure in your unique form and capabilities. It will, you know, can teach you to embrace your imperfections and how to open your heart. So It's a beautiful practice, and I definitely would love people to, it's something we've been working on for a couple of years, and I basically create the yoga sequences for these programs, and it's something you can do in the comfort of your own home. So I would love for people to go and check that out, and they're called truenakedyoga.com. and if you want to find me and read a little bit more about my healing that I do, the chinasang and the yoga work, it's my website is called chiflowhealing.com. so chiflowhealing.com. and my Instagram handle is yoga NNICA, yoga nika, in one word.
Okay, so thank you. Thank you. Yeah, so Jenica, it was a pleasure talking to you today in the studio, and it was really interesting. And I hope our listeners found a lot of value in what you told them, because it was amazing speaking to you. And thank you for coming to the studio today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
You are listening to the Inner Hippie Club radio show on BBS Radio Station 1 with your host, Silky Harvey.
Do you feel anxious and worried with low self-esteem? Beatrice Jimenez is a certified anxiety and trauma coach for professional women and survivors of trauma who want to feel confident and happy with their family, work and social life without the worry and anxiety holding them back. Her Confident Woman Transformation Program will teach you how to experience joy, a sense of calm and high self-esteem. For a limited time, she is offering a free confidence jumpstart session. Claim your spot within 14 days by visiting her website, mindrenewalnow.com. Again, the website is called mindrenewalnow.com. Well, thank you once again, Jenica, for that lovely talk in the studio. And it's time now to move on to the music spotlight. And today in the music spotlight, we have Sean Harvey. Sean is an established British singer, songwriter, guitarist, multi-instrumentalist and a producer who has a large international fan base and is equally a well-respected musician amongst other musicians throughout the world. For over a decade, he's written and recorded pop, rock and blues, and has worked with a great number of influential names, such as Albert Lee, Boss Borah, and Linda Gale-Lewis. Born in Plymouth, England, Sean grew up in a small tin mining town in rural Cornwall, surrounded by the sounds of the 70s, a love for a music which shines through in his own music to this day. He started playing guitar and writing songs at the age of 13, and since then has developed his own distinctive style, taking his inspiration from his own early musical influences and adding a large dose of himself to each of his songs and recordings. The result, I'm sure you will agree, is a fresh and exciting new sound in recreating the 1950s rock and roll in the 2000s. His live performances have been described as electrifying, and are, say many, still the best way to witness his true musical talent as a singer and guitarist. From years spent on the road and gigging the length and width of the UK and Europe ever since he was age 14, he has turned him into one of the most exciting performers around today. Catch him performing live and you will catch him in his element. And today we are very lucky for him to be playing the song for us called Thinking It Over.
Hi, I'm Sean, and it's great to be on the show here. And I'm from the UK, and hopefully you enjoy some rock and roll with the track Thinking It Over.
Do you feel anxious and worried with low self-esteem? Beatrice Jimenez is a certified anxiety and trauma coach for professional women and survivors of trauma who want to feel confident and happy with their family, work and social life without the worry and anxiety holding them back. Her Confident Woman Transformation Program will teach you how to experience joy, a sense of calm and high self-esteem. For a limited time, she is offering a free confidence jumpstart session. Claim your spot within 14 days by visiting her website, mindrenewalnow.com. Again, the website is called mindrenewalnow.com. All right, so just before the commercial, you were listening to Sean Harvey with Thinking It Over. And if you want to find his music and listen to more, you can go to www.seanharvey.com. That's S-H-A-W-N-H-R-V-E-E-Y.com. SeanHarvey.com. And I must admit, this track was just a shameful plug because there is yours truly on bass and backing vocals. And it's one of the songs from our old band, Sean Harvey and B57. Sean being my other half, hubby. And we have been doing music together for almost 30 years now. And I decided that what's the good of having a radio show if you can't plug your own from time to time? So I love this track, and it's been one of the most well-received we ever recorded. It's even been covered by a famous artist, Steven Ackles, in Norway, and has been released on Warner Brothers. So it's a track I'm really, really proud of, and I love playing it. I love hearing it. Yes, so this is almost the end of the show. That went fast. So I want to talk to you about, just to wrap things up, about the importance of tapping into your inner hippie. Your inner hippie is that carefree teenage feeling before life got serious. And, you know, when life seems a bit flat or boring, or our daily jobs and daily grind is getting us down, it is so important to think back to that time when you just lived for the moment, had fun. Think back to that very first gig you ever went to without your parents. Think how free you once felt. And that's the inner hippie. And if you can find a way of tapping into that every single day, then life will be so much more joyful and so much more happy for you. And that is exactly what the women have done in my upcoming book, Strong and Free, because I also own a publishing house called Inner Hippie Books, where at the moment I'm compiling a multi-author book with the stories of 20 amazing women. They've all got inspiring stories to tell of how they broke up with society's expectations and how they are now living true and happy and fulfilled lives. And all of them have got that one thing in common, that at some point they realized how to tap back into that joyful feeling of being youthful, being young at heart. And if you have an inspiring story to tell, please go to www.innerhippiebooks.com, and I want to hear from you, because there are still a few spots available in the upcoming book, Strong and Free. So I want to leave you with a little tip. Every week ends on a little tip, how to tap into your inner hippie. Today it's mindfulness. Mindfulness through creating. Just create a piece of art, poetry, or writing, because the creation process is when we start going inside ourselves, staying in the moment. What we talked earlier about with Janneke, just focusing on the here and now. Experiment with any form of creative expression that you prefer, and then sit down at least 10 minutes every day and start creating your art. It doesn't matter if you're good at it, if you start drawing and it turns out to be stick men. You're not trying to be the next Picasso here. You are just expressing yourself and spending some time doing something you truly love. And in that time, you don't think about nothing else. And it's in those moments that we can really, really reconnect to ourselves, find our inner hippie, and find our true north in life and where we want to go with it all and how to make sense of it all. And you never know, you might even discover a new talent along the way. It might turn out that you're a great painter, singer, artist, dancer. But even if you're not, it doesn't matter. Do it for your own pleasure. Do it because you want to, and do it just to release your inner hippie. And on that note, I wish you all a wonderful day, a wonderful week ahead. See you again, this time next Monday, 1 p.m. CT, 7 p.m. UK time. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Inner Hippie Club radio show on BBS Radio Station 1 with your host, Silke Harvey. See you again next week, same place, same time, Mondays at 1 p.m. CT.